Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We've just started the second chapter. We're at the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet. We're on the third wide line, about eight words in on the line. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Okay, what we've been discussing are labor that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, on the intermediate days of the festival, but we've been comparing that to what a mourner is allowed to do during his mourning period. And we have a machloket, between Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi, who says that the mourner may not do any kinds of work during his mourning period, even the kinds of work that are permitted on Chol HaMoed. And Rav Ashi, who says, no, if you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed, then, which is a, you're forbidden to do work on a Torah level, then for sure you can do it during your Avelut, which is only on a rabbinic level. So we are right now exploring it and agreeing with Rav Shisha that a mourner is not allowed to do labor. So we have a series of cases about a mourner, different kinds of professions, and whether or not they're allowed to have other people do work for them. Because we said even in situations where the mourner is not himself allowed to do work, there are some situations where he can have other people do work on his behalf so as to forestall a loss or so as not to let down his business partners or his vendors. So here we have a few different cases. Ha'arisin, v'ha'chakirin, v'ha'kablanin. So these are three kinds of financial arrangements. And aris is a tenant farmer. So the tenant farmer basically farms someone else's land, and he has an arrangement with them that a certain percentage of the crop goes to the landowner, and the remainder of the crop he gets to keep for his own needs. And then a chakir is a similar kind of situation, but instead of the percentage of the crop, he owes a certain fixed amount to the owner, and the rest of it he can keep himself. So the aris is a percentage, and the chakir is a fixed amount. The hakablanim, a kablan is similar to the both of the above. He's working somebody else's field, but it's for a set amount. In other words, he's renting the use of the field. So he pays the rental fee, but he gets to keep the entire crop. So these three examples where you are working someone else's field, hare elu yasu acherim bishvilan. In each of these cases, someone else can do the labor on their behalf, even while they are a mourner. Hachamarin v'hagamalin v'hasapanim hare elu lo yasu. But in other situations, in other words, in situations where you're an independent contractor, that is, you own a donkey or you own a camel, or you own a boat. In those situations, because the material belongs to you and yourself, you can't even have someone else do the work for you. You have to wait until after your mourning period. V'im hayu muhkarin o muskarin etzal acherim, but if they were already contracted out or leased out for someone else, hari elu yasu, then you can have someone else do it for them. So in other words, whenever there's part of the idea is that if it belongs to someone else, like the land belongs to someone else, then you can work it in order to pay your debt to them. Or if the camel belongs to someone else, then you can do the work. You can have someone do the work for you in order to for someone else's. But if it belongs to you, you can't do it. However, there is an additional category here, which is certain kinds of financial arrangements are very short-term, and you can't initiate new financial arrangements or do short-term arrangements during your mourning period. But if you have a financial arrangement that extends over the course of a year or extends over the course of a month and your avelut is in the middle of it, so you have to continue to do the contract, otherwise it's not going to work out. You can't just take a week off in the middle. In that situation, you can have someone else do it for you. So that's what the next case is, schir yom. If you are a day laborer, that is, you rent your labor out for the day, afilu bi'ir acheret, even in another city where they don't know you, lo yase, you cannot do labor, and you cannot do the labor when you are a mourner. Haita melechet acherim biado, what if he has someone else's work in his hands? He's been contracted out to do work for someone else. Af al pi shebekibolet, even though it is a contracted labor, that is, it's an ongoing contract, like you agree every Tuesday I work for you and do handyman stuff for you. Nonetheless, lo yase, he cannot do that during his mourning. So the Gemara asks, af al pi shebekibolet, even if it's contracted work, velomi bayash ena kibolet, but you didn't even mention the case of where it's not a kibolet, meaning usually you would say he can't do it when it is not contracted work, and then all the more so he can't, or and even in the case of kibolet, he can't do it. So the text of the teaching seems strange. Adraba, it seems the opposite. Kibolet kedidei dami. If he does it by a contract, then it's like his own work, and therefore it should be a problem. But perhaps if it's not a kibolet, then maybe he could do it because it belongs to someone else. Ela ema, but rather we'll amend the teaching to say bein kibolet bein she'ena kibolet lo yase. Whether it's a contract or not a contract, whether it's an ongoing regular relationship or not, he still cannot do it because he's in a situation where he's a schir yom. So even though he has an ongoing arrangement for this day labor, a day labor cannot be done when he's a mourner. And he can't even have someone else do it on his behalf. Haitam melachto biyad acherim. If he has work that he needs to get done, that is, he wants to hire a handyman to do work in his house, so haitam melachto biyad acherim, his own work is in the hands of someone else, some other professional. Beveto lo yasu, in his own house, and that is in the house of mourning, he cannot have his workers doing labor. Bevayit acher yasu, but if they're doing work someplace else and they're just doing it because he hired them, then they may continue to do their work because he's the mourner and they're not the mourner. Marion Brei de Ravin, Marion the son of Ravin, Umar Brei de Rav Acha, and Mar the son of Rav Acha, Brei de Rava was the son of Rava. Hava lahu hahu gamla de Torah, Bahade Hadade. They had a team of oxen that plowed together. So they had this arrangement where each one of them had an ox and they put them together to form a team. Itra b'milta, b'mar b'rei de Rav Acha. Something happened, certain story happened to Mar, the son of Rav Acha, b'rei de Rava, son of Rava, where he basically became an avel. That's what it means in a euphemistic way. He became an avel, and therefore he didn't want to use his ox, which he's not supposed to do, during his period of avelut. Upaske legamli. So he detached his camel from the team. But the problem is that they were a team, so they needed two in order for it to work. So by him detaching his, he was now messing up his partner, which was Marion Braid Ravin. So Ravashi heard about this. Ravashi said, Gavra Rabba Kemar Braid Rav Acha, a great man, like a Torah scholar, like Mar, the son of Rav Acha, Avid Hachi, that he would do such a thing? He goes, I'm in shock. I can't believe it. Nihi Dilipse the Didei, let us say that for his own loss, lo chayish, he's not concerned. He's accepting the fact that during his mourning period, he's going to experience some kind of economic loss. Ad acherim lo chayish, but he doesn't care about the economic loss that he's inflicting upon someone else. He has a partner here. How could he detach his ox from the team and cause his partner a loss? V'hatanya, and it's against Jewish law, it's against the halacha. We learned in a braita, im hayu muskarin o muhkarin etz al cherim, if it's rented out or leased out to someone else, hari elu yasu, he can have him do it. In other words, he doesn't have to do it himself, but he can have his partner do the work on his behalf. That's what the halacha is. So he shouldn't have put his partner's parnasa at risk. So the Gemara gives him an explanation. V'hu savar, his theory was that Adam Chashuv Shaini, that because he was such a great person, he was such a big rabbi, that he shouldn't do something that might look to someone else like he was profiting against halacha. Other people might see that his ox was continuing to plow even when he was a mourner, and they might not understand, or they might think badly of him, or that, in other words, there's a higher standard for someone who's a public figure and a public Torah scholar, so he felt like he should be machmer on himself, not to have his ox do labor. Of course, that does not deal with the question of his partner. Perhaps he needed to get his partner's approval. Maybe his partner would agree with him. But it does not really defang Ravashi's criticism that he was trying to be religious on himself for the sake of the public, but he was not considering his business partner. We'll stop there at the very bottom of the daf, and we'll continue next time at the very top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph. Have a wonderful day.